In 1879, Henrik Ibsen's play, A Dollhouse, raised eyebrows and prompted discussions because it was a work in which a woman, Nora, leaves her husband and children. In 2017, playwright Lucas Nath created a sequel and brought A Dollhouse Part 2 to Broadway to critical acclaim. Now, A Dollhouse Part 2 is running at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick. The show picks up with Nora returning more than a decade later. Joining us on the WBGO Journal is one of the stars of the show, Anne McDonough, who plays the nanny Anne Marie. Great to see you, Anne.
Lovely to be here in snowy downtown Newark.
We wanted to make you feel comfortable today. But it is a real thrill to have you here. Tell us a little bit about A Dollhouse Part 2. We know that A Dollhouse Part 1, when it was really written back in the 1800s, caused quite a stir. Tell us about A Dollhouse Part 2.
Nora comes back 15 years after she left, but through sort of contemporary perspective, because the people speak in very contemporary language, even though they are dressed in 1878 clothes. But everybody kind of gives Nora an earful for walking out and her husband and her three small children. And she tries to explain why she did it. But she comes back because her husband never filed for divorce. And she finds that everything she's done for the past 15 years is illegal because she assumed she was divorced. And now she asks him for a divorce, and he says, no. So I play the aged housekeeper and nanny to her when she was a small child. And I, even though I'm very happy to see her and happy that she's done well, I'm just outraged at what she did, leaving her three small children and running off, as Anne Marie says, to do her little thing. I think the audience has a tough time liking Nora because of what she did.
You have three children yourself.
I do indeed. So there's that part of me, even though Lucas Nath, the playwright, never gives Nora her due. Her husband in A Dollhouse, she saved his life. She lied to save his life, and he screams at her for that and berates her. And he never gives her credit for that. But it's one of the reasons she feels that she must leave, that she just feels so oppressed. But I have three children. I kind of put my own career on the back burner for my three children. My husband is an actor, Jack Gilpin. He's currently, you can see him in Billions, lots of Law and Orders. But I also
love him in Billions, by the way.
Yeah, he loves doing it. I have to confess, I haven't seen it. I would work at the Long Wharf or do, you know, short term things. But I would say to my children, you know, it's not easy making your life a living paradise. You know, I just live to serve, and I kind of did with them. I directed plays at their school, but I really gave up a lot in some ways for them. But I mean, somebody said to Meryl Streep when she had her third of four children, you know, if you're going to have three children, somebody's going to stay home and raise them. And Katharine Hepburn also said, you can't have everything. You got to make a choice. But I think if you're going to have three children, I think you got to stick around and raise them. And even though I'm sympathetic to Nora on many levels, on another really basic level, I think she, how do you leave your three kids?
Now, you don't have to have seen A Dollhouse 1 to know there's enough information that gets passed along. But what was your reaction when you read this play and said, yeah, this is something that I want to be a part of?
Well, that it was, you know, the feminist take that was given to it, and that how trapped Nora felt, but I also liked that in the play when she comes back to get this divorce, everybody on the play really gives it to her. Her husband Torvald said, you know, you told me a minute before you left that you didn't love me, and then you left. You didn't stay and talk about it. You didn't give me a chance. You just said, I'm going, and off you went. And I, who stayed and raised her children, give her grief for it. I tell her off. I swear at her. I do all kinds of things. And I did raise her children. And I also, in raising her children, I gave up my own child to do it. And Nora says to me, that was your choice. I said, no, it wasn't my choice. Do you think I wanted to leave my home and become a nanny? No. What my options were, what, go work in a factory or go be a prostitute? And so we really give it to her. And I think the audience, by the end of the play, kind of believes these characters. Oh, and her daughter says, you know, no, I don't know anything about marriage because you left. How would I know anything about marriage? I have nothing to compare it to. And that it wasn't, and she comes back having done very well and written books, but she left scars on the people she left. So that part of me wanted to say that too.
In today's world, where do you see the average woman, how are they responding to this show now? Because since it, you know, it's taken a new perspective, and it's also being directed by, you know, by Betsy Adam, so you have a female director in this.
Right.
What's the take, do you think, the average woman who's coming to see this?
Well, it's interesting. I think the audiences, it's hard to tell, because in New York it was a laugh riot, and Laurie Metcalf won an Oscar. Not an Oscar, excuse me. Well, I think she's won an Oscar, too. But she won a Tony, but she really kind of played it for laughs. She really, you know, rolled her eyes and did it. And Kelly plays her as much more of a wounded person. And I think women are kind of threatened by her and what she did to her children, and are rather disapproving. I mean, there are nights when we get a partial standing ovation, and it's interesting. Men stand, and men are much more sort of open, I think, to liking it. I think women disapprove of Nora because, you know, we do really idolize our children now, and you know, we do anything for them, and they are kind of spoiled and all of that stuff. But I think it's an interesting reaction and surprising on our part. You know, that we weren't quite ready for this. But I think, you know, in New Brunswick, but apparently around the country, it's getting similar reactions. And after Laurie Metcalf left the Broadway show, even though a wonderful actress, Julie White, replaced her, the show didn't last very long. So I think it's got some issues, this play. I mean, people love it, but it does definitely have some issues about how likable it is.
You make the audience laugh. Anne McDonough's our guest here on the WBGO Journal. Where did comedy start with you?
Well, I'm Irish, and it's that sort of, you know, alcoholic father, semi-poverty, Catholic, Irish Catholic childhood where you had to laugh, and it's great fun to laugh, and always did, and then I was sort of a class clown. I was the middle child, and often there are a lot of actresses who are the middle child with alcoholic fathers. That's not uncommon, but I just, it comes easily to me. I liked the people I liked to watch. I liked Lucy and Beatrice Lilly and other great comedians, but it was a way of surviving as a child, and surviving Catholic school and surviving the nuns, and it stays with me even now.
The cast. Tell us a little bit more about the cast for A Doll's House Part 2 at the George Street Playhouse.
Well, Andrew Garman was in the beginning of this year, I did admissions at Lincoln Center. So this is sort of a red letter year for me because of the children and because of things. I haven't worked many times over the last years, last 20, 30 years. But I do, as I said, I could work at the Long Wharf because that was close by to my house in Connecticut. And so Andrew and I did this play at Lincoln Center, admissions, and he was wonderful in that. And he's also done another Lucas Neath play, and he's a great guy and a wonderful character actor. Well, he's good-looking enough to be a leading man. And then lovely Lily Santiago. Her father is Ruben Santiago Hudson, who was on Castle for 3 years playing the chief of police, and wrote a piece called Lackawanna Blues about his own life. And her mom gave up acting and theater and singing to raise Lily and her brother. And then Kelly Overby, who's a terrific actress, who was in my daughter Betty's first play in New York at Second Stage. So there's history there. And Kelly's just great and a, you know, committed actress, committed feminist. And Betsy, you know, this is her first real full-scale professional production. So it's groundbreaking for her and a great triumph, I think. And, you know, and the creative crew was wonderful. And, you know, all that's just great. And the staff at George Street are great. But Andrew, I had the biggest connection with, and he's just a doll. Oh, and David Saint. I've known David for a zillion years. David was taught at Jesuit High School by my cousin Dan Madigan, who was a Jesuit. And David credits my cousin, who, you know, is another damaged Irish Catholic, with giving him his kind of wacko sense of humor and love of the arts.
We're speaking with Anne McDonough, who's one of the stars of A Doll's House Part 2, running through December 23rd at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick. How difficult is it to use contemporary language, but yet being in, you know, costumes from that era?
Well, it's tricky sometimes. I mean, I kind of love it, you know. But then Anne-Marie swears a lot, unexpectedly. I mean, she really does. She's pretty salty.
Are you salty?
Oh, my God, yeah. It was funny because Betsy, when she cast me, she said, "You are the last person I know to use the F-bomb." I said, "Oh, my God, Betsy, I am foul. I am completely foul." And as anybody in, but I play lovely old ladies all the time. And often, which is funny too, being an Irish Catholic, and I did Ancestry.com and 23andMe. I am 99% Irish from the west of Ireland, so I can't claim any WASP blood, but I've kind of made a career through Pete Gurney plays and others of playing WASP women. But that's also because I was born in Maine. I got that a strong Yankee streak in me. But I really have to be careful sometimes about that. But it's fun. But then I worry, oh my God, does Anne-Marie swear too much? Because I really do spit them out with relish. And I think sometimes by the time I, you know, use F-bombs against poor Nora, that they're going, "Oh, Anne-Marie, you got to clean it up," you know? But it's fun to do.
How does it work when you have two actors in a marriage? It's not easy, is it?
No, it's not. And I mean, you know, when Jack and I met at one point I had done more plays by A.R. Gurney than anyone else. I think I've done 10 of them or so. And Jack has done, he may have surpassed me now. And we met doing a Gurney, no, we met doing another play at Playwrights Horizons. And then we did, The Middle Ages in New York. And then I think we did another one together. We've done love letters together several times. And it's kind of fun working with him, although he's much. Jack went to Harvard. Jack went to Exeter. Jack grew up a semi-wealthy WASP in Virginia. And now he, in his spare time, well, acting is really in his spare time, he is an Episcopal priest in New Milford, Connecticut, with his own parish, and they adore him. He's supposedly part-time, but he really works a lot. He's much more sober in some ways than I. Like, backstage, I am sort of the science officer, entertainer. I bring in jigsaw puzzles. I have games. Last night I brought in eggnog and apple cider and camembert cheese and all kinds of things. Jack sits in a dressing room and reads. He'd be happy being a monk, I think. And so he's much more serious in his approach, but it kind of works for us in many ways. But he's It is different, and it's kind of great in a way. Our daughter Betty describes our marriage as Atticus Finch married Lucille Ball, and so it kind of makes it work, you know.
You mentioned your daughter Betty. She's doing quite well in the acting biz. What is it about her that you think makes her special?
She's got the best of both of us. I will say she looks like my mother, who was a great beauty, and Betty is a great beauty, and she is disciplined like her father, and funnier like me. But I think the discipline was key because I was never that good at pursuing a career and putting myself forward, and Jack, partially because he had some money, never had to, and so he didn't. And Betty is just single-mindedly. She wants to do good work. She went to a Montessori school. She went to a lovely boarding school. She went to Fordham, a wonderful Jesuit college, and now she's playing a female wrestler. She's played any number of crack addict prostitutes and call girls and murderesses and all kinds of things, which is, of course, that's the kind of parts you play when you have that family background. And but she's really smart, and she's very strong in her beliefs. She's the oldest of the three children, and bosses her brother around like crazy. Brothers around like crazy, and she's been married to a man named Cosmo File, who they met 10 years ago playing brother and sister in a low budget film, and they've been married 3 years now, and he's no longer acting. He's actually doing a correspondence course to become a nurse. He is an EMT. He's a firefighter. He's fought fires out west. He's done hurricane relief after with FEMA and Rubicon in New Orleans and Houston and Haiti. He's like... So, you know, Betty's held her father once. She says, I'm probably always going to be the breadwinner, but it works for us. And it does, you know. So,
you've had quite a career in theater. You've done a lot of very popular movies like Moonstruck, Mothman Prophecies, and 6 Degrees of Separation, TV. What do you like best? You said you love acting. Does it matter?
Yes, it matters. It's got to be staged. I'm just no good at movies. I mean, Moonstruck, I made a ton of money on because I was the cover set for 3.5 weeks back when they would send actors, fly them first class to LA, and you got paid a lot of money. And I ended up working like 2 hours on that movie with me and Chris Jones. And I have 3 lines, but we are the only non-Italian people in the movie. And, you know, we're described as wasps. Again, I wasn't a wasp. I was Irish Catholic in disguise. And I just never get comfortable. And when you're only in something that short a time, nobody in the movie really takes the time to get to know you. They're like, oh, you're here for the day. I'm not going to invest energy in with you. And although I would say Richard Gere was adorable, but then I was kind of in and out of that movie. One of the loveliest men ever. He really was just a gent and handsome and generous and all of the above. And Laura Linney was lovely. But like Goldie Hawn, I did a movie with her and she, you know, barely looked at me because, you know, hey, you're just going to be here for a couple of hours and then you're out. You know, bordering on rude, I would have to say. But, you know, what do I know?
So what was your favorite role you've done on stage then?
On stage? Well, any Gurney place. The Dining Room, I've done it now 3 times. I did the original production in New York at Playwrights Horizons in 82, 83. And then I did the revival 25 years later, but did a different role in it. I played, instead of playing sort of the leading lady role, I played the older woman that Lois DeBansi had originated. And I did it both there, and I did it up in Vermont and in Summerstock. That is a great one. But these last ones I've done, Admissions, it was a dream cast. And, I mean, there's no better place in the world, I don't think, to work than Lincoln Center. I mean, at Christmas time, you know, the plaza, everybody's happy. You see couples from Eastern Europe looking at the Tishkal murals and weeping. They're so happy to be there in the fountain. And but I love doing admissions. I love that play. I loved everything about it. And it's had Andrew and Jessica Hecht. I love doing City of Conversation in Arena. Again, what a wonderful place to work, being in our nation's capital. And I love that part and working with Margaret Collin. I don't know. I like being supporting funny.
You mentioned the City of Conversation, so I'll use that word. What's the conversation you want the audience to have as they leave George Street Playhouse?
You know, Nora says at the end of the play, in 20, 30 years, there's not going to be marriage. It's all going to take care of itself, and the world will be what I want it to be. Well, marriage is still, you know, I've known three of my friends who were kind of dumped by their husbands. And what did they say? Viagra has given a whole new life to older guys that, you know, they leave their wives and they go on. And you know, what about women? And what have we done to them? And what do we think of them? And why can't Hillary Clinton get elected? Or why shouldn't we take Elizabeth Warren seriously? Do women cease to become interesting if you don't want to go to bed with them anymore? I mean, there's that, you know? And I mean, they say that about actresses. They go, oh, whatever happened to that actress? Because men don't want to sleep with her anymore is basically the answer. Unless you're British and Helen Mirren, or, you know, Vanessa Redgrave. But if you're an American actress of a certain age, they're done with you. They really are done. And I think, what happened? Whereas, you know, George Clooney and Cary Grant and all those guys can go on and on and on and on. And as, you know, my daughter said in an interview on with Jimmy Kimmel, you know, men can still be farting guys in sweatpants and be brilliant. You know, look at Adam Sandler. And we're just, you know, yesterday's news. So that's the question I have. Who are women?
What's the best compliment Jack has given you through the years?
One time he said, this I nearly killed him for. I did this sort of odd play at Playwrights Horizons. And I said, well, and he said, you'd hit a solid double to left. I said, a double to left? And I said, he said, well, that's what you were supposed to do. I said, no home run? He said, no, you weren't supposed to hit a home run. So, but he, I mean, that was a low point, and he's learned since then. But he tell me that my work is always real. And I love that. That it's real and it's funny, but it's always real. And in admissions, she was sort of the comic relief. Well, not just the comic. Everybody had funny lines. But the director came one night, and I said, I just want to make sure it stays grounded. He said, you never have an ungrounded moment. And that is the thing I pride myself on. And sometimes in this play, I feel like I might be asking for a laugh once or twice, but everybody assures me that I'm not. But and the same thing in City of Conversation, you know, Doug Hughes directed it, and he said, I said, you know, let me know if I go too far. He said, you never go too far, never. And I just. That's good, because I hate it when people do that.
As you mentioned, real's very important to your work. Last question then would be, Anne McDonough, could she have survived in the late 1800s, or would you even want to be around at that time?
Well, my husband and I joke, because his family was still wealthy in the 1800s. They were, you know, gentry in Northern Virginia. They had horse farms. They owned railroads. You know, it's just, you know, there were too many kids, and the money gets divided and divided and divided. And if I met Jack in the 1800s, I would be the maid and he would be the guy, because that's what Irish people were then. That's what my family was then. We were, you know, cow farmers on the Aran Islands and in Connemara, and so I don't know, you know, my grandfather ran away from Ireland and started a construction company in Portland, Maine, and he did very well, And but that, you know, he lost it all in the Depression because he was a good guy. And when people couldn't pay their rent, he said, "So what?" And he eventually lost everything. And so I know he had smarts, but I don't know. I knew Frank McCourt in his last years because he lived in the same town I live in, and he was coming over for dinner at Rose Styron's house. I also knew the Styrons, all these people through my husband because he was to the manor born and I was not. And I said to Frank McCourt, "I never read your book, Angela's Ashes, because it's too close to the bone." He said, "I completely understand." You know, and he says, "Absolutely." And because, I don't know, that's where we were then, you know? We just were scullery maids and farmers.
Anne McDonough, one of the stars of A Doll's House Part 2, running through December 23rd at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick. Boy, I like the way you just talk about things. You don't, you know, you don't hold back, and I love that.
Thank you so much. This was a treat.